Hill and Higgins were starting to raise their voices, so the Secretary of State said firmly, "We've all put in a long, hard day. Let's go home and get some sleep." She got to her feet. Everyone else rose and bid her good night. She watched them leave, and once her office was cleared of them all, she picked up her phone and tapped the speed dial button for the Secretary of Defense. She knew that no matter where Lionel Bakersfield was, her phone system would track him down. Glancing at the digital clock on her desk, she figured that Lonnie was probably working on his third martini by now. Good, she thought. He'll do less talking and more listening. General Higgins rode the elevator to his waiting staff car in the parking garage in the State Department building's basement without offering a ride to Coggins or Jamil. The two of them got off the elevator at the lobby level and then walked down the building's front steps, side by side. Zuri Coggins looked up and down the rain-slicked street. Not much traffic. No taxicabs. Jamil pulled his cell phone from his jacket pocket. "I hope they got the towers back online," he said. "I left my car in Langley this morning." Coggins watched him as he pecked at the phone's keyboard. At last he gave up. "Guess not," he said, more resigned than aggravated. She gestured up the street and said, "Come on, let's walk a bit. We'll probably find a cab on the avenue." "And if we don't?" She chuckled at his oh-so-serious concern. "You like to look at all the aspects of a problem, don't you?" "Don't you?" Coggins tilted her head slightly and remembered from his dossier that Jamil was unmarried, just as she was. "Well, maybe as we walk along we'll find a friendly bar or a restaurant." Jamil broke into a smile. "Come to think of it, I'm damned hungry." "Me too," she said, as she started down the street alongside him. Missoula Community Hospital, Montana. For a moment, Charlie thought he was in heaven. He seemed to be floating, like he was resting on a blessed cloud. Not a care in the world. Nothing hurt, but he didn't feel numb, not really. More like he was just floating. He couldn't see anything except an endless expanse of soft white. Not cottony clumps, like clouds. Just flat, plain eggshell white. Kind of restful, really. "I must have died," he realized. There was no terror in the thought. In fact, he would have smiled if he could have. "Died, and now I'm in heaven. Or on my way, at least. Blissfully peaceful. Not a pain or a worry in the world." Then he heard a soft beeping sound. Beep, 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 beep. "Heaven don't beep," Charlie thought. It all came back to him in a rush. The blizzard, Martha and the kids, the snow and the cold, and the wolves. Charlie blinked and it all came into focus. He was lying on his back. Hospital room. Off-white ceiling. Turning his head slightly, he saw that the walls were a pastel green. The sound he heard was coming from a bank of medical monitors blinking and beeping at him. There were IV tubes in both his arms. "We're awake!" The nurse's boisterous voice made Charlie jump. "Had a good rest?" the nurse asked as she peered at the monitors. She was a chubby Hispanic woman with kinky dark hair.
"Well,
Harry couldn't get his voice to work.
"Relax, Mr. Ingersoll. You're still full of Demerol. Relax and go back to sleep."
"What about Martha?" Charlie wanted to ask. "My kids?" But he found he couldn't get the words out. Instead, his eyes closed.